Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, faithful Father. Thank you, merciful Father. Gratitude will determine your altitude. If you know how to say thank you, you will always receive more and more and more. For the Bible says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise to his name, O Most High. Are we here together? So learn the attitude of gratitude every day, every time. Just learn it. Ensure it becomes an integral part of your life. And you will see God move you and cause his strange acts to be seen in your life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, choir. So this morning, I'm going to just pick it up. Thank you. From where we stopped. I started teaching on Tuesday, so I thought that what I was teaching on Tuesday should be something that the whole church should listen to. Especially when I realized that, you know, it was a strong burden in my heart. And we're starting a new series next week, October. So I thought it would be nice to build on that, this one for this week. Then we'll continue building like that. Remember, the church is a place where we grow, where we learn, where we are established and rooted in the Word of God. The church is not just a place where we come to receive the blessings of God. The church is a place where we also come to know the ways of God. Get established and rooted in Him so that He can transform our lives. Are we here together, church? I want to encourage us to avoid distractions as much as you can. Of course you can. And just allow your gadgets and other things stay while you focus on God and His Word. Amen. So I want to speak to the subject 7, God's Purpose, and a subtopic, God needs somebody. Look at your neighbor, say, God needs somebody. No, you didn't say that. Just tell your neighbor, God needs somebody. And you can tell the person directly, he needs you. In Ephesians, when Jesus was raised back to heaven, Paul was recounting in Ephesians, and he spoke and he said that when Jesus was raised to heaven, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. And that he gave to them apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. And he says, do the NIV for me, Ephesians 4:9 now. Ephesians 4:9. It says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity in his train and he gave gifts to men. Another way you can put it, that is, he gave men as gifts. What does the ascend mean, except that he also descended to the lower earth region? He who ascended is the very one who ascended on high and all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So, It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? The essence of the gifts that he has given to men is so that they will prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built. Go to NLT. No, go back. The same verse, NLT and TPT. NLT. their responsibility, that is the pastors, the prophets, apostles, the teachers, and evangelists, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So God has work to be done. Are we here together? God has work, and he wants the work to be what? To be done. Tell your neighbor, God has work. No, you didn't say it to the person. Are you scared of your neighbor? I hope they're not frowning so much. Smile. Tell your neighbor, please smile so that I can talk to you. Some people are still not smiling. That's how they are. They say, it's my nature, it's my nature. That's how my face is. God has work. And the work that God has, he needs men. God needs men. God's method is always men. Men are God's method. Anything God wants to get done, anything God wants to do on the face of planet Earth, he goes out routing for the quality of men that can do that. And sometimes we're expecting him to choose the high and the mighty people, but he comes very low to the most unexpected places to pick the most unexpected people, those who have thought in their hearts that they cannot serve God's purpose. Remember in the Bible, the first time Saul was chosen to be king, he ran away. He said, me? The least in my father's house. In our tribe, we are the least. I'm not even sure that it is possible for anything good to come out of. No. So don't consider me as one of those that should be used. It's not possible. And God said, well, we have looked around, you are the one. The same thing with David. David was not the best. David was the least in the family, the youngest. In fact, some Bible theologians try to explain the fact that he was born out of prostitution, that he was not exactly the one of the other guys, so that's why the father didn't consider him. That's not exactly the way, but, you know, it's possible because David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That means I'm not even worthy. I'm not the kind of person to be used. Why would God consider me? But when God came, he said, I have found David my servant. Hi. I have found David my servant. What has he done? You're already calling him your servant. In other words, everybody on the face of planet Earth, I am God, you are my children, you are my servants. That's what God is saying. So he prepared the pastors, the prophets, the teachers, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers for the equipping of the saints. Their responsibility is to prepare the saints because of the work of the ministry. Unfortunately, we have a community of saints that are always after God. I just need A, I just need B, I just need C. And God says, I can do all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Every other thing will be added to you. We cannot rewrite the Bible. We can only align with the scriptures. We cannot say, no, God, every other thing first, then seek. No. Seek it first. That means there is a purpose in the heart of God. And God wants you to serve his purpose. Why were you created? Now just think about it. Just imagine that you were created to just marry, give birth to children, do business, and die. It's a useless life. Very useless life. But just think of it. We come to this world, wake up one day, you like a babe, you toast her, you say yes, you marry, you make babies, you die. So God has no serious thing to do. Just create us. Now that is even the easy path. How about the part of all the challenges and the problems? What is my consolation after I have gone through some things on earth? If there's no purpose attached to my being. So there is a purpose attached to your being. And those things are the needs of God. And when God has a need, sometimes you feel like, how can God have a need? He created the heavens and the earth. He has all things. He can pick anybody he likes. No, he has a need and he wants a willing heart. He wants somebody who's yielded. Somebody who's saying, I am available. Here I am. Send me. Even in heaven, God did not force anybody. He didn't force the angels. He didn't force anybody. He just said, I sought for a man. I was looking for somebody. He said, we found nobody that was worthy to take the scroll and to read what was written thereon. But he said, I found a lamb, as it were, this lamb of God. He alone came forward and he said, I will read. What if you read wrath and danger and I will read it. Anything in the scroll, let me read it. And as soon as the lamb read it, it was death that he read, that he would die for humanity. And he said, I will go. All the angels could not. The angels could not do anything. They are there, but they couldn't do much. But Jesus yielded himself. Then at the end of the day, when Jesus served the purpose of God, After he has served the purpose of God, the Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and has given him a name that is above every other name. That at the mention of the name of Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, Angel whatever. No! The one who read the scroll, the one who served the purpose, the one who did the work. He said, at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee must bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things underneath the earth. Why? He did the work, so he got the crown. You have to do the work. Am I communicating this morning? Is anybody still liking what I'm sharing this morning? So God has a need. God has a purpose. Anytime God wants to create a human being, he does not just think of your color. He does not just think of your height. God doesn't think of your... because it's not about your... that's not the primary thing. Maybe your height will be needed and your color will be needed and your shape and every other thing will be needed. Later, we'll talk about that. But the first thing God considers is your assignment. Somebody say your assignment. So God is asking, what would be the assignment of this person? When you were born to this world, how many of us know that all of us here, when you were born, the first thing kingdom of darkness asks is, what is he coming for? Hell does not ask, what is he going to be? A doctor, a lawyer, engineer, a businessman? Hell doesn't have time for that. What the devils and the demons ask when a child is born, the first thing is, what is his assignment? That's why the Bible says, for this purpose, the Son of Man was made manifest. Why? That he would destroy the works of darkness. What? As soon as they heard it, all hell got loose. And the Bible says that the king ordered that every child should be killed. Just because he got to know that the child, the king of the Jews, has been... How can there be two kings here? Because there was an assignment attached to the life of Jesus. He went through more challenges because of his assignment. But you see, when God has an assignment in your life, no matter how hard the devil tries, he won't get you. Except your assignment is fulfilled. Are you getting what I'm saying now? A superior purpose in your life. So that's why Jesus came. All the people that were shouting for Paul to die, did Paul die? Paul eventually became the preacher of righteousness everywhere. So God has a purpose. When you yield to the purpose of God for your life, he will use your life as a living testimony. Many people run away from serving the purpose of God. Many people say, oh, I don't. And some people think of the purpose of God as apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist. Forget those ones. That's not what I'm even talking about for now. I am saying that there is a basic, ordinary, everyday purpose that a layman can fit into and eventually have a life that is beyond a lay life. God can give you an assignment that makes you start so small and ordinary, but he can switch you and you become a global and a national voice. You become an icon of honor and responsibility and wealth and increase and impact. Is there somebody under the sound of my voice that can hear what I'm saying this morning? And I want to pray for somebody here today that you will open up your heart, you will yield, and you'll be useful for the purpose of God. In the name of Jesus, can you shout, here I am, send me. Shout it, here I am, send me. David was sent by God to be the king of his people. And God said he led them with the skillfulness of his hand and the integrity of his heart. And because of that, God took David and he did what he had never done for anybody on the face of the earth. He said, from today, I know the mercy of God, but there will be another mercy that is called the sure mercies of David. Immortal human being, born of a woman. Why? He served the purpose of God. And from that day, he said, David, if your children misbehave, I will discipline them. But I will not take royalty from your family. I will ensure that my eternal purpose of raising my own king must come from your lineage. Why? He served the purpose of God. And guess what? In the book of Acts, the Bible says, after David had served the purpose of God for his generation, he fell asleep. Kai, what a life. Life makes no sense if you just rise, you just pursue money, pursue wife, train children. At the end of the day, you grow and it's as if nothing has happened in your life and you're just going, psh, you're gone. Useless life. Any life that does not serve the purpose of God is a waste. Any life that does not serve the purpose of God is what? Who created you? If a product does not satisfy the purpose of manufacturer, does it make sense? What do manufacturers do when the product begins to serve a less purpose? They face it off. You hear what I just said? Nokia 3310 has been faced off. Wasn't serving a purpose. Then they brought other Nokias. As soon as Nokia lost its purpose, faced off. Other things continue. There are many phones you use, even some iPhones now. If you bring them, they are iPhones, but they have been faced off. They have just considered that this one can't serve the purpose for this generation. May you not be that kind of person that will be faced off when you are still alive. You didn't hear what I just said. The prayer I prayed for you is the prayer that is more important than any other prayer you're praying for yourself. That in the name of Jesus, while you are alive, you will not be written off already. While you are alive, may it not be heard that you are no longer useful to God. In the name of Jesus. God needs men. And this same God needs a person. He goes around searching. He goes around searching. The Bible says, and God came out and he said, I sought for a man. I sought. How can you say you're looking for the, everybody is there? And God is saying, no. Some of them are calling me God, God with their mouth, but their heart is far away from me. Some of them are present in body, but they are absent in spirit. Some of them are running around, but they are running for their belly. I need men that will serve my purpose so that I can bless them, establish them. Then I will have a generation covenant with the man that in his lifetime, for what he has done for me, he will not lack a person in his generation that will be responsible. Some men incurred curses for their own generation. Eli was picked as a priest and Eli misbehaved. And guess what happened to the generation of Eli? God was speaking to Eli and he said, there will not be an old man in your house. You know what that means? God looks at the man and says, Eli, I had no option whether I said amen or not. Why? Eli had chosen a path where he disregarded God and he dishonored God and he decided to honor his children above God. And some people are like that. They honor their children above God. Some people, you honor one boyfriend above God. You honor one girlfriend above God. What? What? That's dishonor. God who created you, you honor one business above God. Have you not seen that in the same business line where you are, people that are 32 years old die and they put their obituary outside? They're gone. Anything the person is pursuing is gone. Don't honor anything. Don't honor any business, any career, any human being, anything above God. You must open up your heart as a child of God, as someone who knows God, to serve his purpose. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 has been my anchor scripture, and I'm reading it again this morning. I want us to do it loud and clear together in concert. Ezekiel chapter 20. Are you there? Can you help me? Ezekiel, we have been reading it. 1, 2, go now. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Are you ready? Church, are we ready together? Let's do it together. 1, 2, go now. I look for someone to stand up for me against all this, to repair the defenses of the city, to take a stand for me and stand in the gap to protect this land so that I wouldn't have to destroy it. I couldn't find anyone, not one time. Hey, those people were useless people in their generation. Not a generation of useless people. But they are building houses and buying cars and marrying children. They didn't have cars, horses. They were having horses and having businesses and running around. But God said, I came and I looked for somebody that will stop. Because I'm going to wipe all of you off. But I'm God, I'm merciful, and I don't want to do that. I need one person that will just stand the gap as an intercessor. Let's forget about this wiping off. And he couldn't find anybody. Let's look for somebody in this family that will have a good heart. Serve me. Let him even take away poverty from that family. In your family, and they are looking for somebody. I'm looking for somebody that will cast out devils and establish righteousness in the family. And it's your family. And every time you are complaining, I say, this night prayer is very hard. I don't even understand. What? You want the demons to have a field day in your house? And you are looking for that your sister that has been praying. I say, that my sister, they go to church where they pray. Maybe that pastor will go marry. You are the one. Not that your sister. That my brother is already a man of God. Yes, yes, yes. In fact, the other day, his pastor, he told me about, you are the one. Don't pass the ball. Correct leaders, quality leaders don't pass the ball. They take responsibility. Whenever you see things that are going the other way, that was what happened to Gideon. Gideon was afraid. He was scared initially. Then when he got the boldness, he scattered all the gods of his father's house. And they came to attack him. The father said, the gods, don't they have voice to speak for themselves? Leave the young man alone. And they left him. And Gideon took 300 men and defeated a whole army, a whole nation. And God established him. Because God saw him in heaven as a mighty man. But on earth, Gideon saw himself as a weak person. And when God called him, he said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon said, how am I a mighty man? Where are the good things that you did? Our fathers told us you healed the sick. You did that, you did that. There's nothing. God forget it. God said, calm down. In the record of heaven, you are a giant. On earth, you are a dwarf. Rise up, Gideon. There are people like that. In the record of heaven, you are a global voice. You are building houses and estates and establishing and wiping
poverty and fear and shame from your family. Some of you are the people that you have a glorious and beautiful marriage in heaven, but on earth, you are the one struggling and crying. You are the one making the wrong choice. You are the one fighting and beating a wife. You are the one running away from home. Hey, God forbid. May you rise up and take your place. I didn't hear you. I said you will rise up and take your place. You will take your place in righteousness. Every rubbish that the devil has established in your family, in your home, in your life, I declare from today, it is totally canceled in the name of Jesus. What does God need men for? Number one, God needs men to pray, intercessors, stand the gap, prayer warriors, prayer men and women. I don't like to say prayer warriors because they are bastardized prayer warriors. I like to say prayer warlords. Those who win battles. God needs men to pray. Somebody say God needs men to pray. Anytime God wants to bring revival in a particular territory, he will raise a man. Anytime God wants to change things in a place, he will raise a man. It was said concerning a man called John Knox that the Queen of England said she feared John Knox's prayer than all the army of England put together. John Knox, and he prayed and he cried. One day, John Knox's wife would say that anytime she goes close to his room and she hears him agonizing and praying, he will be praying and saying, "Give me Scotland or I die. Give me Scotland or I die." He prayed that prayer for 10 years and started seeing the fruit. Continue praying it for 20 years till he died. He saw light break forth upon Scotland because one man prayed. Lot would have died with the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham prayed. And Abraham said, "God, don't wipe away righteous people with unrighteous people." Lot is there. And God said, "But look at, he's not even standing the gap. He can't even do anything. If Lot had sense, probably would have stood the gap and did the right thing." But Lot did not have enough wisdom to intercede. And that's why he would have been wiped off. God needs men to intercede. God needs you to pray. Pray for your family. You come out at Oshenam First Service, you come out from a community. Some of you are not comfortable with where God has planted you. Your business environment, where you live, your house and all that. You're always complaining. I'm coming to the congregation, so allow me. I hope you're not bothered. I'll see a lot of things. Those sleeping, those pressing phones, those meditating. Are we here together? So God needs men. God is looking for men and women that will stand the gap in righteousness and do his biddings, do his will, his plans and his purpose. You were not created here for yourself. You were not here to make yourself feel good. You are not here to just wear clothes, buy a car, you know, build a house. All these things are beautiful. All of us want it. I also want that. But first of all, I will ask myself, God, what would you have me do? When I close my eyes in death, what will be the most important thing that I have done for my generation? What will be the most important thing I have done with my life? Will my life count as a voice that shaped nations and shaped people? Or it will just be said that the guy just walked around and it doesn't make any sense. Anyway, 2 weeks later, they have forgotten the guy. She will not be forgotten like a non-entity. She will not be forgotten like a non-entity. In the name of Jesus, God needs men to pray, pray, pray. Jesus was born because Sarah was, Elizabeth was, what's the name of this woman again? Hannah prayed. When Hannah lost her husband, she did not become traumatized. I said, "I have trauma. My life is a waste. Lord, why am I here? I don't even have a man again. I'm not useful in this world again." Hey, God. Hannah started praying. I said, "God, give me a purpose. Until another man shows up, give me a purpose." And God said, "Well, I know you are praying for another man. But I will give you a man that will save you. Not just a man that will be your husband." And the woman prayed from when she was about 30. She prayed to 40. She prayed to 50. She prayed to 60. She was about 86 years when Jesus was born and the mother brought Jesus into the temple. The Bible says, Anna, that woman that people have mocked over the years and laughed at and said, "You have lost your husband. You are useless. You still go to church and lie down there and pray." Because the Bible says she stayed in the temple daily, fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. She stayed in the temple every single day of that woman's life. She would be praying and fasting and calling upon God and staying with God. And people were wondering, what kind of thing? Why is she like that? Some people even mocked her. But the day Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, the day Jesus showed up on the scene, Hannah said, "This is it. This is what I have prayed for all my life." If not that she said it, we would not have known. All her prayer points was, "God, let me see the Messiah, the salvation of Israel. Let me see the Messiah, the salvation of Israel." And as soon as they brought Jesus into the temple, she said, "My eyes have seen the salvation of Israel.
This is what I prayed and fasted for 40 years. This is what I have given all my life to. And she came out. Simon, another man, showed up to confirm it, that it was true. God needs men. He partnered. Simon came out and said, Kai, this one is set for the rising and the falling of many. He said, Lord, the soul of your servant can now depart. I don't need to be here again. What I have prayed for has come to pass. And Simon went off the scene. Hannah went off and Jesus came up. And the kingdom of darkness kept holding rampant and fighting hard to wipe off Jesus. But guess what? Prayer has gone ahead. When prayer goes ahead, a nation can be delivered. When prayer goes ahead, a country can be delivered. I pray for somebody under the sound of my voice. You will not be there and your family will be wiped off in sickness. She will not be there and your family will wipe up with generational patterns. May God give you the hearts to stand in prayer, the tenacity to stay in the place of prayer. In the name of Jesus.
Men that will pray, men that will stand the gap, men that will say we can do it. You come out of your street every day and you see guys, they say stupid boys, they will soon waste. All their liver and intestine and lung will pack up. And God is saying, I don't want you to pack up, pray for them. You are condemning people, but God is saying, pray for them. You are thinking that they will die. They will not die. They will not die. If they stay alive, if you don't pray for them, they can rape your own children. Say, God forbid. It's not a matter of God forbid. Let's do the right thing. People are being raped every day. The prayers of the saints can deliver a whole community. God plants you in a particular place and you see certain things happening. It is because there are some sites when you come out. Some of us who stay in, you know, maybe story buildings. You stay, you come out and you look at the site and say, ah, every time you come out, You're almost so pained and you just want to wipe, close your balcony or something. Stay there and be praying. I say, God, I am sure that in years to come, this will no longer be the site. Martin Luther King prayed for America and did all his life and stood as a political activist, did everything until he saw by himself that they asked him, they said, are you sure? He said, I'm not sure, but I have prayed. I have seen the mountain. I've been to the mountaintop. I know that one day things will change. Praying men. Praying men. Let me tell you, many of us that are here, somebody prayed for you, that's why you're here. Prayer has worked. Somebody prayed for you, that's why you're here. Some people would have wasted. Some people would have expired. Some people, their lamp would have gone out. Somebody prayed for them. It is prayer that keeps things going on. It is prayer that keeps things working on the face of planet Earth. Do you know that there are people and places where they pray 24 hours and people are criticizing us and saying we pray a lot, we are used to that. But you see that all over the world, Nigeria is exporting the gospel. Nigerians are the ones going to preach for them and filling their stadiums and filling their major arenas. And it's why they will still criticize us. We know that we have our own problem of corruption. Don't worry, God will help us. But somehow we will not stop praying. Because somehow, saviors will arise from Zion. And they will judge the mountain of Esau. And these saviors are the ones that will pray. And I pray you are partnering with the saviors all over the world. That will pray to liberate families. That will pray to liberate homes. That will pray to liberate communities. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, God, use me. Yes. If you don't pray, you don't know that your prayer is going to save that. Many of us are here. Your prayer is about to save the young man that will marry your daughter. Because if they marry Olori, Olori Pako Pako. But when your prayer has removed the Pako from the head, be a changed man. So you say, I'm not going to pray. Sometimes your prayer is indirectly working things in the root and the foundation of your destiny. So you don't joke with prayer. You pray. Some people that are misbehaving, prayer has not touched them. The day he touched Paul, Paul shouted, who art thou, my Lord? Shouted. The day he touched somebody, they will shout. I've seen prayer touch people. They will rush out of their house and they will start running and say, Pastor, pray for me now. I need it now. I said, this one I'm praying for you is not the real thing. That one that brought you here is the real thing. This one is just a continuation. Something brought you here. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? I want to charge you to learn how to pray for souls. This one is important. They came to ask Jesus and he said, the harvest is ripe. The laborers are truly few. He said, pray. What? How do we make it work? He said, pray the Lord of the harvest. I implore you to pray in ministry. Every believer is employed to the praying ministry. For men always ought to pray and not to faint. They asked Peter again. He said, pray without ceasing. The reason sin has a grip on your life, you are not praying. The reason you're struggling with addictions, you are not praying. The reason you are not praying. Those prayers that are so fleshy, these are not the kind of prayers. A sincere heart prayer where you cry. It doesn't have to be, but you are sincere and say, Lord, I am tired of where I am. You pray. Then when God brings you out, you say, God, look at these people. They are good people with good intention. Will they perish like this? Bring them out. And God will begin to work wonders. It might take some time, but prayers always work. Are you getting what I'm saying here? It works. Number two, God needs men to preach the gospel of Jesus. You need to preach. I cannot preach. I'm very shy. You are shy, but you are not shy to make money and count money. When customers come to your shop, you're not shy. You price. You even tell them that you bought the product, the price that you didn't buy it. Our people, am I preaching fine? Yeah. Everybody knows their calling. I know my own. Yes. People say a lot of things about shy. You are shy to preach to a guy on the street. But when a guy toasts you, you are not shy. Yeah. You're not shy. You would have been shy to say yes. You would have been shy to marry. You would have been shy to propose. You were not shy when they were toasting you. Still, I like to speak to you. Say what you want to say. And the guy kept saying, I've been looking at you around the community. Wow, so you have been looking at me. You were not shy when you said that. But when it is time to preach Christ to somebody, say, I'm a very shy person. I mean, you are not a shy person. Fire of the gospel has not entered your bone. When it enters your bone, Jeremiah said, if I say I will not preach, it is like fire shot in my bones. If I try to keep my mouth shut, he said, it will be coming out of my belly. Fire. I pray for somebody, you will catch that fire. I say you will catch that fire. You will not watch your neighbors go to hell. You will not watch your family members go to hell. Your cousins and your nephews will not die and perish when you are there in the name of Jesus. If not for Abraham, Lot would have died. Kai, what an uncle. May God make you that kind of quality uncle. Hey! Abraham saved the whole generation of Lot. All of them would have died. They would have been wiped off in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham stood the gap and he prayed. If not for Mordecai, Esther would never be queen. Mordecai stood the ground, and it was before Esther started fasting. Mordecai started fasting. It was because of the fasting of Mordecai that Esther now heard everything. She now said, my maids and others, tell all the Jews to fast. But Mordecai already took his stand. An uncle that nurtured a girl, single parents, he did not give up on that girl. And he watched that girl grow. I guess this girl would have been maybe 7 or 8 or 9. And she bathed in his house, did everything. He did not molest her. Just small picture of a neighbor passing by. Somebody's head is turning upside down. Am I preaching well, somebody here? Yes. Make up your mind that you are going to add to people's life. You will not waste it. You are going to add to their blessings, not their trauma, not their pain. I will not be the one that will cause trauma for any human being. I will not be the one that will cause a pain that one mistake in the life of a person, a male or a female, can affect 4 generations. Don't you know that? Go and ask many people where they are. It was one mistake. Wrong picture of a father they saw. Wrong picture of a mother they saw. Wrong picture of a family that altered their own. And it will take a prayer of another person again to shift the heart of that one man in another generation. Men must pray. Men must speak the truth. When it's time to preach, you preach it and tell someone, I don't know what to tell you, but God has changed my life. Jesus is real and he changes the life of people. Follow me to church. His message, it has started already. I beg you, just follow me. Next week Sunday, I'll pay your transport fare. Let's go together. When Abraham left all of Chaldeans, God didn't tell him to carry Lot, but he considered the destiny of Lot. This is my young boy brother here now. What will happen to him? If he remains here, he will serve idol all his life and he will die. He said, Lot, we are going. Where are we going, sir? He said, don't worry. Just follow me. Even the man going doesn't know where he was going. He said, just follow me. Say, sir, I should follow you. I don't understand. He said, just follow me. That is what it means when you are a discipler. Your disciples will follow you. When you have people that you can talk to. You know many of us, let me tell you the truth. Many of us, some of us, you are not doing anything for the kingdom yet. How many of you can have somebody that you can talk to and tell them about God and they will listen to you? Me, myself, my eye, my business, my work, it doesn't work like that. Am I blessing somebody in this church today? People serve, they have businesses and they have boy, you understand what they call boy? They have business serving with them. Boys, serving with them. And those boys will serve with you, and the boys are misbehaving, and they are doing all manner of things. You can't talk. You just say, just do my own business. I just don't want to see anything here. You can be doing that thing with the girl there, but just make sure they don't cross my shop. So your shop is more important than their souls. And I tell you the truth, if you continue like that, that strange girl will deceive his head. They will pack all your money. If you continue like that and you leave them, evil association will corrupt. If you want to save people around you, change the association. If you don't change the association, they will destroy your own too. It was a boy that came into a family as a friend to the elder brother that slept with the 3 sisters in the house. One boy, only, I don't know if you define. That kind of people, they are supposed to use boiling ring to roll there or something. And But you will not rule. Somebody will pray for them to be changed. Am I pretty fine? I'm telling you, one mistake, the guy just made friend with the guy. Before you know it, his own elder sister, the younger one, the follow one, only one person. That boru. If somebody had prayed for that boy, maybe his life would have changed. Pray. Somebody say pray. Then preach. Yes. Those two P's in the Bible, they are powerful. Pray and preach. Learn to talk to someone. You don't have to be sophisticated in your preaching. Don't say Jesus loves you. He cares about you. Do you know that the message that changed, what's the name of this God? D.L. Moody. His boss was a cobbler. D.L. Moody. How many of us have heard of the man D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody. Okay. D.L. Moody happens to be one of the young evangelists that shifted things in America. He was just a cobbler. Didn't have Polish English or anything. He was just a simple young guy that left his father's house and wanted to make ends meet by himself. So he got enrolled in where he would learn the work of, you know, making shoes and all that. So his boss now said that, listen, the only way you can work with us here, you will go to church with me on Sunday. Reluctantly, D.L. Moody said, well, I have decided I want to learn a trade, so I will follow you. So he followed. Then when he started following, one day, the boss kept having that trouble nudging in his heart. So do you know people who are under you will listen to you with all their lives? When you model the right thing, there's nothing they will not follow. He just said, let him even find courage to tell the boy. He said, Moody, Jesus loves you. Dear Moody said that word pierced his heart like a stamp. And from that day, the next time he went to church, he was thinking of the Jesus that loved him. The next time he came to church, he'd be thinking of the Jesus. Until D.L. Moody got it. I don't know the name of the boss now, but I know D.L. Moody. There's a Bible Institute that the students of D.L. Moody, thousands. Then D.L. Moody was the one that had orphans, over 2,000 orphans. In his orphanage home, over 2,000 in his orphanage home. And he fed them every day, trusting God. He made up his mind he will not beg anybody for money. And each time, sometimes, he will just tell the children, and he tell them, guys, there's no food today, but we're trusting God to bring food. And while they sit there, say, let us start praying. They'll be praying, and somebody will bring trucks. People will be bringing things into the house. He fed them like that. A man who decided to change things. I want to beg you, your life will make impact in the name of Jesus. When we appear before God, he will ask us, that person that was your employee, that person that was your houseboy, that person that was your this one, that person that was your colleague, what did you do about them? Serve the purpose of God in your generation. Serve the purpose of God. It's important. Number three, God needs people to model, somebody that will model a good marriage, a good home, a good relationship. God needs them. Model a good marriage. Model a good home. Model a good relationship. Many people want to learn how to be a better father, if only you will model one. Many people want to learn how to be a better young man to serve God. And Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, be thou an example of the believer in words, in charity, in faith, in your conversation. Timothy, be an example. He said, when you see the younger ladies, treat them as your sister. When you see the older women, treat them as mothers. When you see an older man, treat them honorably. Don't attack him in the public. Call him secretly and talk to him about things he should know. Everybody, Paul mentored Timothy. If not for Paul in the life of Timothy, he probably would have been a vagabond. Despite the fact that his grandmother and his mother had invested, Paul came and he stood as a father figure. Do you know we did not see any father in the life of Timothy? We don't know what happened to the husband of Luis. We don't know what happened to Eunice. Their names were not mentioned. Then Timothy is here now. The only boy in the family that decided to serve God. But he needs a male figure that can explain to him how to take it. Then Paul took him up at age 17. He ordained him a bishop and a pastor. And he said, Timothy, start preaching. Don't worry. And every time Timothy writes a letter to Paul, he said, I am sick. He said, you are not sick. Don't worry. God will heal you. And the other time he will say, don't worry, Timothy, you can do the work. One time Timothy wrote to Paul and he was complaining that his soul is not easy and everything. He said, Timothy, listen to me. Be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The things that you have heard from me, hand it over to faithful men who will be able to teach others. Be strong, Timothy. And Timothy stood and became a pillar and a voice, the youngest bishop in the Bible, because Paul stood in the life of Timothy and he modeled a nice, a beautiful work, and Timothy started serving God. Is anybody getting blessed by what I'm saying? Am I preaching fine to somebody here today? You are the one. You are the elder sister that your younger sister cannot even look your character and move. You are not helping him. You are woro woro down. You have be a woro woro you are. elder brother, your younger sister, your brothers cannot look at you and have a good life. My younger brother is going to come and sing with us here with Gabriel Eziashi on Thursday or something. Put that picture. Let me preach with the picture, Jerry. I'm very happy. The generation of the righteous is blessed. Hey, I'm a little brother. Yes. When we're growing up together, 18 years ago, I will organize program. He will be the music minister. I'll be the word minister. That's my younger brother there. He will be the word minister, the music minister. I'll be the word minister. Today he's in the U.S. and he's the one running most of the things Gabriel Eziashi just. You know Gabriel Eziashi? This guy got another one, no deal. Yes. Because I model. In fact, at the point, my parents were saying that you are the one showing him. I said, why will I not show him? We will pray, we will fast, we will do this, we will do that. They were happy about the work of God, but you know, they felt at the point that the way this thing is going, as if you are going to just carry this guy and sweep him off. I was going to decide, he said he wanted to study music, they fought it and everything. I said, leave him alone. By the time he traveled, they fought. Estate management was what he did in Nigeria. By the time he left Nigeria and he went to Gordon Lindsay University and he studied music and art of worship. Powerful. Because you just need to mentor somebody. I said, see what you will do. Don't worry. Continue. We will talk together. Today we are like very good friends. Despite the gap of age, but we are very close as friends. Because somebody decides that we will mentor another person. There are many other people apart from my family that have picked like that, and I'm mentoring them. I'm guiding them. I say, see what you do. You too, do it. It's not because I'm a pastor. My work is to prepare the work people for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is to build others, establish them, get them rooted and grounded. You can start at any time. When did I start? I started preaching at the age of 19. I did crusade. 19. So that's not when I started praying. When I did crusade, maybe by 16, I must have been doing plenty of things already. But I did that, and I did a crusade, carry speaker, and shook the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talk, you try to shut me down, nothing, no. It's Jesus who preached it. On the street, I've been flogged by vigilante for walking in the midnight. Vigilante, I've been flogged though. You have not been flogged for righteousness sake, you are complaining. I've been flogged. I've been put in police station because I was defending a woman that they came to disturb her shop. Preaching, I say, I did this woman alone. He say, yeah, you show you Pepe. Yes, I was put in the point. First time I entered police station in my life, it was because I was defending a woman and her children that the local government people came to disturb. I said, leave this woman alone. These people cannot even eat. They are living in their shop. You want to collect? What tax do you want to collect for somebody that is living inside a shop with three children? I was very zealous. It was painful anyway. But these are some of the things. So I want to charge everyone today. What area can you serve? Preaching is compulsory for all believers. There must be somebody around your space. From next month, all through the month of October, is our Family and Friends Sunday. You are going to be given an opportunity to talk to your family members and your friends and the people around you to preach Christ to them. Bring them to church. Some of them might be far. Sow the seed of talking to them. Those of them that you can drag them. Let them come to hear the work of God. Encourage them. Pray for them. Stand the gap. Why? Your prayer will change somebody. Your preaching will change somebody. Then you're modeling the right character. Modeling the right character. It might not be easy. A model is not easy. To be a model is not easy. One of the hardest things is to be a model. Because sometimes you want to do what is wrong, but when you remember that you are the mold and every other one that comes out of you will have the same crack or fracture, you correct yourself. And I pray for everyone who is desiring to stand the gap and do the right things in righteousness, to model for their brothers, their sisters, their children, their husband, their wife. May God give you the strength and the stamina in the name of Jesus. God needs somebody finally today. Somebody that will make up their mind that they will be useful to the purposes of the kingdom. Rise up on your feet. Rise up. I preach my message. Model it. Marriages are crashing. Model a good one. Many people have agreed that it's not possible for anybody to live a great relationship, blah, 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 blah. And people are modeling right ones. People are modeling right ones all over the world. People are saying, don't let anybody deceive you. There are people that are standing in righteousness. I was discussing with somebody the other day. We were talking about Charlie Crick has over 1,000 staff working with him, under him, that is employed. 1,000. 31 years old. That just died. 31 years old. And they have an arm of the ministry that is pure faith. Then he has the arm of what he's doing that is more of activism. And about how many thousand people gathered for the commemoration of somebody's funeral, service of songs or whatever. How many thousand gathered? Thousands. Do you know one of the reasons why Trump is really interested in the guy? He is the one supporting to mentor Trump's son. 31 years old. Preacher of righteousness. Forget every other thing anybody's saying. Everybody has one thing to say. Nobody will like your opinion completely. But what did he represent? Faith. That's the main thing. Talk about it confidently. Talk about it boldly. Very well, distinctly wealthy already. The fear of the terrible people everywhere that are fighting was the crowd that he was already pulling. That if this guy says, damn, in the U.S., everybody will follow. So be careful. And he was going from campus to campus. Now somebody says, the guy has died now. What kind of life is that? Jesus died at 33. He died, but his life just started speaking. Somebody lived to 90 and the life all rotten, the bone rotten, no use. What is the use of 90 when you will not be remembered for 90 days? But this one died at 31. Generations will never forget the books, the things that he has done with his life. Just imagine what he has done with his life. Young men and women. Early satisfaction. Before you know it, he had married Pam. He's already doing his thing. And God, you are crying, but heaven is rejoicing that with one boy that has come to heaven now, there are thousands. Go and check some of the videos. People come in everywhere to say that I've never opened the Bible before. But as soon as I heard about it, so I opened the Bible. I am born again now. I have seen plenty. Sometimes I scroll through the video thread and I'm seeing another person saying that, I went to church for the first time. It was recorded that last week Sunday, they had the highest attendance in church all over the U.S. One person. Highest attendance in churches. People rushed into church because one person, 31 years old, is living his life that is meaningful and impactful. And he has mentored his wife very well that she did not wait for the crowd to go to announce forgiveness to them. And he said, for the young man that has done this, I forgive him. In tears. But somebody will keep the trauma and die. Die with the trauma. Trauma that's supposed to be an experience for your purpose is the trauma that is eating you up. Any mistake you have made in this life, part of what God wants to use, God wants to use your mistake to be a message. So any mistake you have made that you are hiding, you are not helping anybody. If you cannot say it in the public, it's one-on-one talk. Now, I have a story to tell Osio. You know, I might not be talking about it loud, but I want you to know that this is what God has done in my life. I used to be this, but this is who I am. I was once lost, but now I've been found. By the time you do it small, small like that, you'll be sowing seeds that will shape the destinies of people. Listen to me. This world needs people that can pour the seed of God's love in their hearts. People that can pour the seed of God's word in their soul. And you have a message. You are useful. Your story is important. Lift up your hand and say, God, use me. That's the prayer this morning. Just pray and say, God, use me. God, use me. God, use me. I'll be an example. I will not be a wasted specimen. I will not be a human wasted specimen that doctors will just use for nothing after death. No. I'll be a sample species in heaven, identified as a voice in the fashion industry, as a voice in the tech industry, as a voice in the media world, as a voice in the entertainment world, as a voice in the fashion, as a voice in business, as a voice in politics. Kai, the young man, has reshaped the landscape of political, of activism in the U.S., reshaping it passionately that there is another way to go. Kai, Lord, use us. We are available. I want us to pray. All of us, everyone, there are bigger things we want to do for God. There are greater things we want to do for God. There are mighty things we want to do. My mistake is not the end of my life. My mistake is a message. My mistake will preach the gospel. I might have missed it in the way I handled things concerning my career. I will raise a voice that can teach people how to make career choices well. I might have missed it in the way I handled things in relationships. And I've been messed up. I will be a voice. I will pray and I will speak. I will help. I will nurture and mentor people in that direction. I might have missed it in the way I handle my parenting, but I'm retracing my step and readjusting as a mother, as a grandmother, as a father, as a grandfather, as a young man, as a young woman. I will not be a waste. I will start. Somebody saying, I'm too young. Another person is saying, I'm too old. People are always saying they are too something, but you tell yourself, no, never too old, never too young. We will serve the purpose of God. We will serve the interest of the kingdom. Can you pray passionately in 30 seconds? Say, God, use me. 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 God, use me.
God, use me. Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory. Lord, I offer my days to you. I'm lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through,
use it for your glory.
Say, Lord, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a living sacrifice. Oh, Lord, I offer you my life.
I'm going to pray for everybody here today. I've told you that God has told me about marriages and homes. And I'm always surprised. I say, God, but he said, listen, I have taken you through the path. And I've given you a legacy that I feel many others will see. I'll pray for every father and all the young men in the house. The seed that will come out of you, they will not be vagabonds. Many young boys are struggling today because nobody modeled true fatherhood. And when men miss it in fatherhood, they will miss it in finance too. The simple principles of saving, budgeting, hard work, they will not get it. And every other thing will go wrong. These are simple things, basics. Very basic things. But whenever it is wrong from foundation, it's wrong. And you know this generation we are in. As soon as people have not seen anything in their lives financially by 17, 18, they're already going wild. They're already going wild. And it's a plan of Satan. We are in a jet age. And that is the reason why the average person in this generation, by the time you are 22, 23, should have been married. Because school life is very fast. By 17, people have finished. 18, 19, they are finished. So what are you going to be waiting for again? Is it pornography? I'm supposed to be having grandmothers at younger age so that the scripture will be fulfilled and you will see your children's children in a healthy state. You don't need walking stick to be traveling abroad. You need a healthy body. Healthy one. You travel and they move there and you do what you're doing. You say, where do they play golf here? Where do they play long tennis here? That's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and adds no sorrow. Every young man, put your hand on your chest. I'll pray for you. Every man, whether you're a grandfather or a father, or you're a young boy, young man who's not yet married, pray. The Bible says when Abraham was giving tithes, Levi was inside his loins. You know what that means? That means all your seeds, they are inside of you. Do you know that every sperm that every man will ever release, they are already locked up. They are generated from inside here. It's not coming from outside. Everything is inside. So those, they need to be high-powered, intelligent species of beings that will be nurtured. I pray for every man under the sound of my voice. Those that are watching, those that are listening, those that are here, and that will listen subsequently. I declare that by the power of the Holy Ghost, may the Lord reshape you and make you useful to his eternal purpose in the name of Jesus. The seed that will come out of you, they will not be vagabonds. They will not be street urchins. They will not be non-entities. They will not be useless to society. Your seed will be mighty upon the earth. In the name of Jesus. Every man here, may God raise you a responsible man. Every grandfather or father that feel like I have missed it before, today may God begin to retrace your step through this teaching. You are taking responsibility for your sons in the mighty name of Jesus. Every young man that is here that has negative influences, friends and all that influencing you negatively, I pray today, may God blind you from seeing negative people. May God close your ears from hearing those that will destroy your life. Your ears are gateway from where things will enter to shape or make you. I pray from today, may God plant people around you that will speak the right words, that will speak the right words, so that your life will be on the right trajectory. In the name of Jesus.
Men are in the image of God. Kalapaniata. God made Adam and he said, Adam, take charge. Every man that has lost charge of life, you have lost charge of direction. You have lost charge of vision. You are not seeing clear. You are not holding on to anything. That is why Satan is taking advantage. Every father that have lost charge of family and Satan is making you perambulate. Today I declare, no more in the name of Jesus. The peace that you desire, may God give you the character to cultivate the life that will end in peaceful living in the name of Jesus. Joyful living in the name of Jesus. Glorious home in the name of Jesus.
Women, I'm going to pray with you. All ladies, one woman called Jacobet, only her trained Aaron, only her trained Miriam, only her trained Moses. One, Jacobet. Her three children were very useful. No one was left out. All of them very useful. Miriam was the prophetess that led the women. Aaron was the priest of God for the people of Israel. And Moses was a prophet of God. One woman's seed controlled the whole nation. I
pray for every woman under the sound of my voice. Every seed that you will nurture on the face of planet Earth, both spiritual and biological, I declare in the name of Jesus. May they be useful in the name of Jesus. May they serve national purposes in the name of Jesus. May they be global icons in the name of Jesus. Your seed will not waste in the streets. Your seed will not waste in the clubs. Your seed will not waste in the brothels. In the name of Jesus. The wisdom of wise women with which they build homes and make quality decisions to marry right partners and make quality decisions to stay with their husbands in peace. Receive that wisdom in the name of Jesus.
It is well with you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Lift up your voice and begin to thank God this morning. Begin to bless God. You may not know what you have heard, but I know what you have heard. I know it. I know what I have sown. I know the seed that I have sown. I know the seed that I have sown. The quality of children that will come. The quality of family. The peace that will start reigning in homes. Yes. Pray. Your husband will serve God. Your wife will serve God. Your children will serve God. Nobody will sit at home. Pray. When you keep praying it, you will see God will bring them. One day they will say, let's go. Don't get tired. Don't give up on anybody. Don't give up yet. It's not yet time to give up. It's not yet time. Give God thanks. I want to pray finally for anybody who wants to accept Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior in service today. You have not made a commitment to Jesus. You are not yet born again. Can you quietly raise your hand? That's why we are here. Quietly raise your hand. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry to just relax. Raise your hand. Say these prayers after me. Lord Jesus, please raise your hand confidently. It's a good decision. It's the best decision. Say, Father, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my personal Savior. Have mercy on me, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. I make myself useful and available. From today, I will serve your purpose. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Everybody put your hands together. Celebrate Jesus this morning.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center. And visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.